I don't believe that any message that comes across the pulpit as it is delivered by an anointed man of God, be a preacher, an evangelist, a special speaker, a pastor, is a waste of people's time. I don't believe that at all. However, in each case, while preaching to souls that are both saved and at times that are unsaved, there do come times when the message being preached is perceived by some who hear it to be the straight goods. Meaning not in an attempt to be harsh nor judgmental, but presenting a message which from the speaker's heart is one that God, in His Spirit, in His desire to reach the whosoever will in the congregation, in God's bid to seek to cause them, or maybe even you, if need be, to use it, to use that message to turn your life around. In these days, as noted as being the end times, as a pastor, I feel that it is of the utmost importance not to shun to preach the whole truth and to share whatever it is that God lays upon my heart through His Spirit, which He gives to me to preach to you, in hopes that God, by His Spirit, will in turn be the one to convict, to speak to, or even to unction your hearts and minds so that it will be you who, instead of rejecting what it is that you hear, that in your life it'll be you who seeks to apply such a message to your life. So having taken the time to speak to you in view of all of our and of your facing an eternity in one condition or another, saved or unsaved, it behooves you this day, I feel, in the Holy Ghost, that you give me now your ears, as it is I who will share a message from God and from my heart to yours. If you would stand together with me, turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 16. The book of Luke, chapter 16. And beginning our reading today at verse number 19. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came, and they licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all of this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which are passed from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Turn with me to the book of Judges. Again, chapter 16. This time beginning at verse number 4. The book of Judges, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Judges chapter 16, reading verse number 4, speaking of Samson. Verse number 4 of the 16th chapter of Judges, the Bible says, And it came to pass afterward that he, Samson, loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and saith unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means, that we may prevail against him, that we may bind him and to afflict him, and we may give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Verse number 17. And over time it was, of course. But in verse 17 it says, and he, Samson, told her of his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, he sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all of his heart. And then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him to sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and he caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. In verse number 25. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Jesus, we thank you today. God, it's your mercy, it's your love that reaches to us time and time again. I'm asking, God, that you open up my understanding, my heart, and give me wisdom to speak, and all the ears in this house to give heed to the word that's preached in this place today. We give you praise, we give you glory, and all the honor in that matchless name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There comes a time in your Christian walk when you, my friend, must, in seeking the will or the favor of God, must realize that what you desire and what it is that you seek for is that in the face of God's mercy, in concern to God being willing that nobody should perish. How that by your just feeling sorry or by your shedding a few tears as you serve God, or while you carry a false belief that your tears and your temporary state of repentance is all you're going to need in order to find a continual favor with God, will be enough. When in fact, I'm here to tell you this afternoon that it's not going to be enough, and it never will. I want to preach to you a message called Beyond the Tears. Beyond the Tears. The reason why that won't really work is because sooner or later it's going to be God who will look for you in your life to move beyond feeling sorry and beyond just shedding a tear. He's going to say, all right, you're a baby, you know, you're a child, and maybe you're a newborn, maybe you've been in church for a while, but you know, you kind of got a little bit away from where you should be, and so God is going to unction you, and he's going to speak to you and encourage you to get further and deeper in him. And so he'll let you do that, and he'll bring you to that place where that'll be all right. But then it's going to be God, as I said, who's going to look for you to go beyond being just sorry. Don't just shed a tear, but I want you to change. As you live for God and as you seek God, it's God who at times in your life will begin to expect to see or to start to see change. He wants to see you grow. He wants to see you put away or put aside that sin that does so easily beset you, and in turn to stop doing the things that God is against. And instead of being the one to come running and saying sorry and shedding a tear or two and then returning in a short while back to what it is that you came crying or maybe feeling sorry for to God for. See, I'm only sorry because I got caught. Right now, I might be feeling guilty for what I've done, but, you know, to be truthful, I'm not really sorry enough, and I don't feel guilty enough to want to change. I come into a church service, or I'm in a prayer closet, and God begins to speak to me, and he smotes my heart, and so you begin to cry and shed tears and tell God all the things that you're going to do when you leave this house today and you get up off your knees in that prayer closet. You know what? Things are going to be different. But then you get away from the presence of God and you get away from that spirit, the unction of God, and you go, well, I cried. I felt sorry. I'm not saying to you this afternoon that if you come before God broken and in tears that God won't hear you. I'm not telling you that at all today. But what it is I am submitting to you this afternoon is a fact that in living or seeking to live your life for God, it is you who needs to understand that there does come those times where that what you desire, what you need, and even what you seek to obtain from God will call for you to go beyond by your just asking and shedding a tear or feeling sorry to get it. Weren't you here last week? Uh-huh. Didn't you do that once before? Uh-huh. You're back at that again? Uh-huh. Go get yourself a Kleenex and wipe your face because it's not working right now. I thought you said you were sorry. Well, I felt at the time I was sorry. I thought you said you're going to stop that. Well, I guess that time I told you I was going to stop it. See, I believe it's God who's going to be the one to look for you in your life to turn away from what it is that you know in your heart is not pleasing to God. And instead of just maintaining a spirit of a false sense of repentance and bearing some tears, it'll be you who needs to start the process of growth in your life to actively seek to go beyond the tears to where you in your life can allow God to literally change you. I hang on to this, and I've hung on to this crutch for years, and it's just been part of my life, and so I walk over here, and I put it at the altar, and I go back and forth a few times, and I realize pastor's about to dismiss us, so I walk back over the altar, I pick it up, put it back in here, put it back in my heart, walk out the door, and keep on doing it. There are too many times where people seek the mercy of God in or during a moment of being or feeling convicted. Who under the influence of God during maybe a time of crisis as the power of God pricks your heart and as it's you who utters a promise in order to obtain God's favor as you're petitioning God, you desire God to supply what it is that you want. But once you're in possession of what it is that you sought for, more often than some would like to admit it, it's they, and maybe even you, who quickly forgets the spirit of urgency that you sought God for. And it's you, if you're not careful. What I'm saying is it can be you who can quickly become the one to return to the same things or the same state that you were prior to your feeling sorry or to shedding your tears. And down the road, if this false repentance and sorrow, the cycle of your doing this, and if you don't stop it, it's going to repeat itself over and over again. God, listen. I'm sorry. I never did it again. I just felt God. He forgave me. Hey, you want to go out and do something bad? Hey, man, I was in church. Felt good. Oh, God, listen, I know last week that I kind of lied to you, and I wasn't really truthful. But hey, I'm really telling you. Got a Kleenex in, buddy. That's right. I feel God. So what? What about it? When I leave here, I'm going to go put them back on. I'm going to do it again. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Proverbs 28 verse 13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, your sins, shall have mercy. See, if what you want or you desire from God always came to you or to us as easy as shedding a tear or by feeling remorse, I want you to know that your spirit of gratitude and that of your expression of thankfulness in view of whether or not you'll change is what no doubt will reflect the same. That was easy. Yeah, got down, cried a bit, smoking tongues. I'm all good now. That was easy. Are you going to change? No. You going to stop it? No. I'll give you that idea. Listen, see my eyes are all red? Yeah. My nose, you know. I cried. I said sorry. I said sorry. I sought God for it, but I'm not about to change. I'm not about to quit it. Leave me alone. Judge yourself. And see, that's why in this message thought to you today, it's I who stands here before you wanting you to understand that there does and that there will come a time in your life if this is what you do. At this juncture in your life, it's you, my friend, are going to have to get to where you, yeah, I'm talking to you. You know exactly who you are, all of you. You got to go beyond that place of just shedding a tear as God in your life will look for you to start considering the price or maybe that sacrifice or the commitment from you that's going to take if God is going to accept your petition in order for God to take you from where you are and progress you from where you are to where he wants you to be. When God realizes that in this side of this little vessel and this heart is true, sorrow. And you know what? I'm going to stop it. I'm going to quit it. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to talk like that. I refuse to go there anymore. I'm not going to watch those things and dress like that because it doesn't please God. Then it's God who, in the process of time, will help you to grow. And you'll say, that's right. Just like a child. And he'll encourage you and he'll prompt you. That pleases me and I like that, and that's what I'm waiting for you to do. Just start changing, and I'll continue to help you to change. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Well, welcome. Because frankly, my friends, today, sooner or later, you're going to have to go beyond your tears. I do this in Bible studies sometimes. I talk about, you know, if you're truly sorry, you're truly forgiven. And I say, okay, well, let's just use this illustration. And I'm not mean. But I said, here. And I smack their arm. I said, oh, sorry. And I smack it again. I really am sorry. And I smack it again. I say, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I smack it again. I'm sad. I'm sorry. I smack it again. I'm sad. I'm sorry. I've done enough yet. And I said, do you think I'm sorry? No. Well, how come? You keep hitting me. You hit me one more time, I'm punching the nose. You're not sorry. But I am. No, you're not. If you were sorry, you'd stop it. Joel chapter 2. Joel in the Old Testament, isn't it, Hosea, Micah, Joel chapter 2. In verse number 12 and 13, Joel 2, verse 12 and verse 13. Give you a minute to get there. It's important that you hear this and that you see this and that you read this. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. I want an inward show, not an outward show. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, very familiar portion of of Scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. 2 Chronicles 7, 14, 15, the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears shall attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now you went beyond the tears. You quit saying sorry when you really weren't. You started to change." As a people, as a soul seeking God, it's you who must go from laying again the foundation of repentance, and it's you who's got to go beyond your tears to where God can do a work in your life. I said it very quickly earlier, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God's not up there going, "Hey, look, they're doing it again. Oh, boy, get your torches out. Let's get that one." No. The Bible says that God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his wicked ways. I want to do a work in your life, but you keep stopping me. How am I doing that, God? You don't stop doing what I displease in. You don't stop going and getting involved in stuff you know that I'm against. So the question this afternoon is this. When you come to God, when you petition God for a need or something that you want in your life, or are you just looking for a spiritual band-aid? Or are you really desiring that God hears you and that God answers your prayer? God, help me to stop that. I don't want to do that no more, God. Feel better now. See, the reason is if all you're looking for is to feel better or to be comforted in your circumstance, that you really don't want to change and you don't want to quit doing what you're doing in light of God's convicting you in your heart, then the day is going to come when you're going to wake up to realize that having not gone beyond your tears, it could be that which causes you one day to lose out with God, both now and then for all eternity. There's going to come a time when God's going to say, "You know what? I'm done with you." I often thought in my walking with God and in my new experience, my wife and I, our new experience in Christ, I often thought about that time. I've shared it with you before. Where that lady had been in the church all of her life, and she'd been living for God, made us look like children, like little ones, to her experience in God. Where we came downstairs one time in the church in Kelowna, and we were fresh in the Lord, and you know what? We could talk in tongues as fast as you can just get into the Spirit. Pow! And we'd felt the presence of God. We walked into that Sunday school room, and there she was on the ground. And my wife, I don't know if she was crying when we went in there or she started crying shortly after we got in there. But she was crying, and I came in behind my wife, and we're wondering, you know, what's going on? And so this sister, her name was Linda, said, "Well, what's going on?" "Well, I don't feel God like you do anymore. I don't, you know, there you are. You walk. And you're feeling the Shekinah glory of God fall. You're talking to tongues. Your face is glowing. I look at you and I'm jealous. I'm so upset. I don't get there no more." I often thought, why? How can that be? God loves everybody. Oh. But you didn't get beyond your tears. Oh. You didn't get that beyond that place of that false repentance. You know, I'm sorry that I got caught, and I'll be quicker next time not to. Oh. I used to think it was strange that you'd act like that, you know, like you'd cry. Sure, just God's right there. His presence is here. That's why we sang that song, and Sister Z didn't even know what I'm preaching about today. In his presence. That's where I want to be. To feel him, and to feel God move, and
This is what this life is all about. It's not just the oratory skills of a pastor or preacher. It's the fact that God's here and his word enriches my soul. The reason I believe that sometimes you don't attain or get what it is that you're seeking for, or you get to the place that you want to be in God, is because in your feeling sorry or in the realm of your tears, what you're not understanding is that God's the one who wants you to get beyond your tears and show me the difference in change. I'll pick on the adults, the couples. And I'll pick on the male part. Because I am one. I've been there before. Honey, says my wife, I wish you'd stop that. You know what hurts me when you do that? I want you to stop it. No, because then I'd have a red mark on my face. But anyhow. Okay, I will. Sure enough. Mm-hmm. Any of you women know what I'm talking about today? You married ladies? You ever been there before? I know you married perfection, but sometimes he's not. Perfect. And so, a short time later, big fight, big trouble. Not so much now because now I'm trained. I just do what I'm told. Kidding. I've had enough of you. What is your problem now? I've asked you how many times? 5, 6, 20? And you don't stop it. Don't you realize every time you do that, you hurt me? I'm sorry. Yeah. Get over it. I'm the head of this house anyhow. Figure it out.
Welcome to God's world.
I'm sorry. You gonna fix this? What do you mean you're not? You want me to change?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll go find another church. Don't worry about it.
I'll fit in somewhere else.
I want to know today, how bad do you desire? How bad do you want? Or how bad is what you're seeking from God you really wanted? If you wanted it bad enough. You know what, man? I'm going to pick on the couples. I'm into relationship right now. You with me? Thank you. I fell in love with this pretty little girl. And not only did I fall in love with this pretty little girl, and on her first date did I ask her to marry me, and she took me at my bluff. No, I'm just kidding. She took me at what I meant in my heart, and now we're married for 36 years. How bad did I want that girl? Man, I'm talking to you. How bad? Oh, bad. I'll do anything. And then you get married, and the under things are on the floor. The dishes are in the sink. The food's all stuck to the plates. The garbage is overflowing. The dog pooped in the yard, and you've got more on your shoes, and the yard's got on the grass and the dirt, and you're going, and she's going, I thought you said you loved me. I got you now. Just get over it. And he starts preaching, then he gets to meddling. That's right. How bad do you want God to change you? How bad? How sick of you are doing what you're doing in God that I want the favor of God? I don't want God to go like this. Don't talk to me. I'm not listening to you. I'm not hearing your cry, and I will not respond to your tears. Then suddenly, you got the message. I've been like that, you know, been that time. Oh, several years, I'd say probably 30 years ago, probably right in that time. You know why? Because you get used to God.
I know what to do, guys. See that? That was the unction of God right there. You just all missed it. I've been around, I got used to the church, and I got cold. Pastor got cold? Oh, yeah. Icy. I just never walked up those doors.
Icy. I don't know if some of you do this. Maybe you do. You ever sat in church and just, I'm going to sing the song, We Win. You all are singing, see? Sister Wilson thinks I'm as spiritual as the day is long. Then she realizes, no, he's not. Yes, he's trying to be. Anyhow, I mouth the words, and I'd lift up my hands and close my eyes, and I'd mumble under my breath, I am no more interested in this church service than wanting to be here.
Yeah.
And then, sister, and then horror happened to me. I start rebounding, you know. Oh God, we win, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. God? God? Hey, look. I said I'm sorry. Look at it. Here.
You want me? You better want me real bad. Maybe go on a fast and a prayer and get your life under submission to me and I'll start listening to you.
God shut me down for a few days and I was scared to death. I was going to the lake of fire just because I played church. Just because I put it on. Oh, I've been in church for 7 years at least that time. And oh man, you know, you better respond to me. See, I know how to do it. Tough. You're phony. What did you say?
You need to repent and pray through. Okay. What? Okay. Okay.
In the book of Luke chapter 16, I better move on quickly. I'll keep you here all afternoon. And I've only got 49 pages left. Book of Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 26. What it is that we find is a rich man who lived his life clothed in purple and fine linen. And the Bible says he fared sumptuously every day. So what does that story or this illustration have to do with me or us?
Just listen. Keep your ears open. Because here it comes.
Every week it's they or you who come to church and you listen to the services, you bask with the rest of us in the riches of the kingdom of God. As the Holy Ghost moves, as the Spirit of God falls, the power of God's word convicts and on you and on they go. And at the altar call, your time to respond, you know, to what you heard. I mean, you do. What I'm saying is you cry and you tell God that you're going to, this time you're going to stop it. And this time things are going to be different and you're not going to do that anymore. And this time, you're going to start getting closer to God, etc., etc. And you cry and you feel the power of conviction. And sadly, after that service, you go home and in the morning and even sometimes right away when you walk out of the church house, back you go doing, living the same way you had. And what I'm saying to you is you don't change and you don't do what you told God that you're going to do. And you don't get beyond the tears and the feeling sorry in the next week and over the next number of services. You know, you're still shedding tears and you're still telling them sorry. And the cycle of your life repeats itself again and again and again. However, as it is you who basks in the riches and the love and the mercy of God, and you never get to where you go beyond the tears, I want you to hear me this afternoon. If things don't change and if you don't try to change, there's going to come a day when you're going to wish that you had. In verse 20 of Luke chapter 16, Jesus speaks of a certain beggar named Lazarus, a man whose life was filled with sorrow and sores. But even in his sorrow, in the realm of his tears, he, Lazarus, in his life, in his circumstance, he must have went beyond the tears. He must have still loved God and reverenced him no matter how bad things were for him. Because the Bible says in verse 22 of Luke 16, that when Lazarus died and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, Lazarus in his life had ultimately attained the favor of God, and so to a place of peace and bliss he, Lazarus, now had gone. Well, on the other hand, and when it was the rich man who died and he was buried, Because just maybe, as I said, it was he who never took the time to account a life lived for God as necessary. You know why? Because I'm rich. I know the game. In his life, whether or not he shed a tear or was sorry, or for even for a time, his eternal condition was not quite the same as Lazarus. You know, God, all I got to do is shed a tear. All I got to do is tell God I'm sorry. I mean, everything's going to be just fine. And, you know, as I do what I do and what I continue to do again and again and again and again, and I never seek to go beyond the tears to where God could work with me. It's while you who lives in the midst of the riches of the blessings and the power of God, believing this lie, slowly and surely it's your soul in a sense that becomes spiritually bankrupt. You don't pray. You sit there. You stare at the guys. You look around at the idiots who are worshiping while you're just paying no mind. And when the time in your life comes, when life on this earth ceases for you and the day of reckoning is at hand, where is it, my friend? Where are you going to stand then? Didn't I fill you with the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Didn't I fill you in my spirit and forgive your soul? Didn't you take on my name? Yeah. What of it? Where are you going to be now? Where's all the funny going to come from now? The Bible says that the rich man was in hell and he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. But, you know, this time, however, for a shedding of a tear, this time being sorry, maybe even remorseful for the life that he lived absent of God, never going beyond the tears in this place of eternal judgment. It was the rich man who discovered that in all of his rich life, in the fact of his shedding a tear, and no longer would be what would change the state and condition of his life that he was in. It was too late. It was done. I don't care if you cry. And I don't care if you say you're sorry. I'm done with you. Too late. Coming into a church service, feeling the presence of God, tasting of heavenly things, experiencing the love and the mercy of God, it's you who cries and who repents and tells God that you're sorry, only to walk out of God's presence and to do it, to continue to do what it is that you told God you'd stop. If you're not careful in your life, my friend, then you're going to be maybe one day likened to the rich man, and you might face the same consequence as he in his life did, and then you'll regret it, not just for a moment or two, but you're going to regret it for all eternity. When if it only had been you who in your life and your times and you cried out to God and you shed a tear and you got to that place where you went beyond the tears and the natural life and you allowed God to change you, how different then would your end of your story be? Can't you just get Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue in his fire? The greatest horror story ever told in this was where Abraham says, can't, because there's a great gulf fixed between us. Those that came to us don't go there, and those that are where you are can't come to where we are anymore. How different would it be if I really repented and told God sorry? How different would it be if I went beyond the tears and getting people to think in my false repentance that I'm better now, when I know I'm not? But now, tears don't matter. Being sorry doesn't matter. But it could have been. The book of Judges, chapter 16. Again, we find a man named Samson who clearly the Bible reveals to us was blessed by God. It was God who bestowed upon Samson gifts of which God had empowered him and gave him a supernatural power and strength beyond all others. In his life, Samson, as a Nazarite, bore a Nazarite vow, a vow which called for him to never cut his hair, and it was Samson who was to never reveal that where God had given or hidden the strength in him to anyone, to where his strength did lie. And so Samson lived in the possession of a supernatural gift and strength and power that he got from God. But Samson, in his life, in a place of rebellion to his parents and maybe ultimately in a rebellion to God, Samson met a woman named Delilah. Delilah toyed with Samson time and time again, if you read the story. She played with him until finally Samson revealed his whole heart, wherein the gift from God, his strength did lie. And then Delilah quickly called for the Philistines, who now were able to overtake and to conquer the Samson in their bid to destroy him.
Now, he used to go, "Rah!"
Verse 21, the Bible says the Philistines took Samson, they put out his eyes. In verse 25, as we read, they made sport of him, they mocked him, they laughed at him, and no doubt they reminded Samson of what a fool he was for allowing the anointing that God had given to him through his being careless to be that which was now gone, allowing his enemy to take him away. Oh, I got you. You're a drug addict. You're a drunk like us. Oh, you cuss like a filthy one, don't you? Look at you in that little that little home that you're in for single mothers. Look at you in that detox center. Wasn't you that used to laugh and cry and praise God on an altar? Wasn't you that used to lift up your hands and speak that heavenly language? No more. Hey, you know what? God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know, I talked in tongues, just like the Bible says. I really felt God, and along comes the adversary of your soul sometime later, who knows how long. As you in your walk, it is you who starts to forget to pray, and you become less faithful to church, and for one reason or another, maybe just greed, I don't know. You cease in giving to God what it is that God requires of your increase, and so it's you need it now. And slowly, without noticing, you start to become cold. You become critical of the church and of the pastor and of those at one time you called your brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, but you're professional now. I mean, you know just what to do. You cry, you tell God sorry, you know, you make false promises, and how are you going to get back on track? And you never do. And then it happens. I'm reaching for your soul. And then it happens. Along comes your adversary, and he sees that you're not faithful to God, that you allowed that precious gift from God that you received to become dormant in your life, and in that state and condition, he strikes! And you leave the church, and you walk out. You walk out on God. You walk away from God. You forget the price that was paid for your soul's salvation. And in the process of time, the time comes when it's you now who's called upon by God to give an account. I thought I was going to bypass that. I thought I'd get away from that day. Oh, no. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus said, my words will never pass away. Samson, as a slave now to a people he once conquered, the Bible does not say this, but I can't help but to believe that Samson, in his place without God, in bitterness and remorse for what he had done, surely cried out to God in tears, only to discover that tears, this time, in the eyes of God, were not going to be enough for Samson to have the chance of ever getting back to where it was, where he was with God before. You see, to think that you can sin and get by is to forget that you've got an adversary. Playing with your anointing, taking the Holy Ghost in the presence of God for granted until you wake up to discover you lost it. In a time when it was God who was calling for you to go beyond your tears to that place of temporary repentance to where God could really do a work in your life instead. Service after service, move of God after move of God. You never got beyond the place of your tears. And now it's you that's going to pay the ultimate. Not for a weekend. It's not going to hurt for a month. Forever and ever and ever. Where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched and the smoke of their torment stands up forever and ever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night. Forever and ever. No longer the momentary feeling of repentance, no matter how bitterly you cry. you, like Samson, have no place to return from or to. I wonder today what it is that you'll be found in God. Will God turn his back on your cry and account you a portion with those who like you, who followed in the path that takes you away from God, away from his mercy and love? Why? Because you never got beyond your tears to where you should have, and you never did. You never changed. You stayed the way you were. You played the odds, and you lost. Hebrews chapter 12. I told you, I love you, church. But I love you too much to let you slip through my fingers of any opportunity I have to turn your children, you, your soul, your lives around. Hebrews chapter 12, second portion of verse 16, and then verse 17. As Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There can come a time in your life where you can mistake the mercy of God in the face of your sin, where God in your life allows you to cross over the line of his. As it's you who understands exactly what you're doing. You know what you're doing, and it's whereby you're doing this, you cause God's hand of compassion to lift from your life, and with the anointing and the power that you in your life at one time had, if you're not careful, if you don't listen to me, it might be what you've lost. See, that's why I stand before you and I'm reaching out to you in a desire for you in your life to quit playing around on God. Quit fooling yourself into thinking that just because God meets you in a moment of sorrow and tears, that if you continue doing this, that what you know that you should not do or get involved in with the things of God against what God says you should do, that the day will not come when you, like the rich man, like Samson, in all your bitterness and in all your remorse and tears, that you'll get by and that you're not instead going to be one that's going to wake up to a rude awakening when, as a result of never going beyond the tears or that temporary place of false repentance, now it's going to cost you your eternity, Holy Ghost filled or not. I had somebody ask me one time not too long ago, can a Holy Ghost person go to hell? As fast as they leave God, you can. Just get rid of your commitment. Start robbing him. Robbing God. Start doing things that God is against. The pastor's not watching. Wife, husband, they don't see. Mom, dad, they don't know what I'm doing. I go get it at the store and I just put it on, and when we meet, I look as normal as I was when I got back. Yeah. Oh, I was hanging around some friends. That's why I smell like cigarettes. What's that on your breath? It stinks. Oh, I just didn't brush it. It must have been the eggs or something I ate. It smells like alcohol. I found some texts that you were sending, and that's not what you should have said. You don't talk like that. Stay away from my phone. Leave you alone. Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and 7. Quickly turning. I'll try not to keep you much longer. Galatians chapter 10. I won't be long. Sorry, Luke chapter 10. I don't know why I said Galatians. Luke 10. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. It should be in red if your Bible's in red. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are your eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. I believe what Jesus was saying was never allow your life to get where you take for granted what it is that you have received. If you do, the day will surely come when what you received is gone and your tears will never be they which will bring it back to where you were. Too many times I've seen in 36 and a half years In the days of the blood-bought, the blood-washed saints, I've seen over and over again as the seeking and even the sinner who made their way to God only get to the place where they, like we as God's people, just shed a tear in their lives. They never get beyond their tears to where you and your life actually change. And as it's you who sells out cheaply your victory by walking out of the church in order to go back to what it is that you know God had saved you from and was trying to save you from. For the sinner, for those who are seeking God, God is he who is looking for you to change. And change doesn't come to those who in their lives have shed a few crocodile tears and who make a pretense of change and then fall short as they return again and again to what it is that God desires also to deliver you from. You got to go beyond the tears and that false belief that God will overlook your sin or your failure to change by allowing God to change you, believing instead you can just continue to seek his mercy and forgiveness and never go beyond your tears, that you'll just slip by until the day arrives when God in his displeasure looks at you and says, you never went beyond your tears. You took what I gave you, my mercy and my grace I offered to you, and now it's I who rejects you. I reject your sacrifice. And as God, I turn my back to your tears in the face of your life. I refuse to look at you because you refuse to go beyond your tears. My message to you today, saved or not, Holy Ghost filled or not, living for God or not, when the opportunity comes knocking on your door, when it's God as the one who in his mercy is holding that door open to you in order for you to change, to become transformed and renewing your mind, I want you to hear me today. If you miss everything else, don't ever turn and walk away from such a calling. Don't ever fail in your life and your walk with God to never get beyond the tears, because I want you to remember this. Whoever you are, however close to God or not that you are, wherever it is that you in your life find you, even today, you in your life have the choice. You have the chance today, from now on, to go beyond the tears to that place where the love and the mercy of God will cover you. He will protect you. In the time when you want to change, God will help you to change to the person he wants you to be. And I want every one of you today to listen to me. You have the opportunity to go beyond your tears, to be touched by heaven's grace. As we stand together, I'm going to open this altar in just a moment. I wonder today who among us is going to be willing to make a sure commitment to God and allow God's gift and his love and mercy to forever change you. Jesus Christ, my friend, he's knocking on your heart's door right now. Go ahead, close your heart to him. Shut your mind. Why don't you make the time and answer that door? You can come. If you want to come, you can stay wherever you want to stay. It's time to respond. Where are you? Where are you going to be? I invite you. Take some time. Spend some time with God.